This is the radio show helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. Welcome to Business Profits Radio with your host, Robert Scrobe. Business Profits Radio is the small business owner's resource for marketing, sales, operations, and profitability. Robert Scrobe uses his extensive business contacts and practical business experience to identify the business people who are creating exceptional profits. Robert's guests are business owners just like you who are building successful companies. Robert gets them to share their best strategies and tactics so you can apply their knowledge in your business. Robert is a business owner, certified public accountant, published author, employer, husband, and father. He understands the pressures business owners face and brings answers and advice to you. You can receive email updates about future shows and listen to Business Profits University online by visiting businessprofitsradio.com. That's businessprofitsradio.com. Now, here's your host for Business Profits Radio, Robert Scrobe.
We've got a great program coming up for you today. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. And I must say, I think today's program is probably the best one we've ever had. And we'll see how it comes out. I want you to let me know if you, in fact, think that today's program is the best ever. But I'm just looking at the guests we have and the topics for today. And you know what? There couldn't be a better time to have today's program than right now. Guest coming up on today's program, Pamela Slim, who's the author of the book Escape from Cubicle Nation, From Corporate Prisoner to Thriving Entrepreneur. And Pamela's book has a foreword by Guy Kiyosaki, and it's a really interesting volume. And I think we're going to have some interesting discussion with Pamela when she's on the program in just a couple of moments. And Darren Jacklin, he's an expert in helping you increase your performance and to achieve a more rounded, successful life by creating a cooperative environment. And so Darren's going to have a lot of advice for you as well coming up on this program. On your profitable business truth for today, I'm going to give you the real essential secret on how you can unlock that business owner lifestyle for yourself. So many business owners create a business and all it does is transfer them from one full-time job and to another full-time job. And often with their own business, they get paid less than they did before and often work harder. Well, we're going to talk about how to break free of that and create that business owner lifestyle that you have been wanting. And I'm also going to talk about this very specific things that I'm doing in my own business to respond to this tough economy and the challenging times. And it's kind of interesting, and I want to share it with you. I've been implementing now for a couple of weeks, and I want to give you some insight into how that's going and some of the early results. And I want to thank you for being a listener of Business Profits Radio. Each week, over 25,000 people tune in to Business Profits Radio as their source of learning how to make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. So thank you for being one of those loyal listeners. Also, if there's an opportunity for you to get a copy of my book for free, you can get a copy of my book, Profitable Business Truths, for free just by going on to iTunes and posting a star rating for Business Profits Radio. So if you have iTunes, go on to iTunes. Or if you don't have it, go into iTunes.com and download it. If you do, go to Business Profits Radio or go to the iTunes store, search for Business Profits Radio or my name, Robert Scrobe, and then rate the program from 1 to 5 stars. Once you've done that, then please go to my blog at robertscrobe.com and post a comment to let me know that you've done that. And when you post a comment, you'll give us your email address. That way, Suzanne in the office can track you down and get you a free copy of the book, Profitable Business Truths. And this is the 16 essential secrets business owners use to thrive, make more money, and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. And I will send a copy of it to you for free just for rating the show from 1 to 5 stars on iTunes and then going to the blog to let me know, and we will get a copy of that book out to you. And I got a lot of great things to share with you. One of the things I wanted to share was an experience that I had when I took my family out to Yellowstone Park just a few weeks ago. We went out, we flew out to Denver and drove up to South Dakota and went to Mount Rushmore and the Badlands and Custer State Park. And then we drove across to Cody, Wyoming and went to the evening rodeo there and then continued into Yellowstone and stayed in West Yellowstone for, I guess, 3 nights and then traveled down to Jackson and did a float trip and then traveled down to Ouray, Colorado and swam in the hot springs and then went over back to Denver and took in a Colorado Rockies game before we left. And all told, our trip was about 2 weeks that we were gone. But one of the things that I really wanted to share with you that I thought was particularly insightful is at West Yellowstone, there's a place called the Playmill Theater. And there's this theater where they have, you know, pretty much college-age kids, maybe just out of college, are the actors in these shows. And the program, they had Guys and Dolls, and they had Secret Garden, and they also had Footloose as three shows, and each night they had a different program that they showed. But one reason why I wanted to bring this to your attention is, you know, the talent of the acting was really good. They were good actors. But more than anything, they had more energy and excitement and put it into their performance better than any show I've been to. And look, I've seen 20 shows on Broadway just in the last 12 months. And so I've seen plenty of other shows around, regional shows. I've seen touring performances where they bring a Broadway show out, and I've probably seen 6 or 8 of those. And above all, the actors at the Playmill Theater put more energy and more effort into their performance than in any performance that I have ever seen. And you know what? It was pure magic. It was so fun. What happened after, you know, the performers did a little pre-show, they came out and did the actual show, and then during intermission, the performers, still in costume, came out and sold refreshments. And then they went right back into character and were doing the second act of the program. And it was fascinating fun. And it highlighted a secret that I've always employed, and that is bring the highest level of energy and excitement to everything you do. And when I'm at a meeting with clients or I'm at a consulting, I always force my energy up, and I'm happy and I'm excited and I talk quickly and it looks like I'm just having the best time. And a lot of times it's all I could do to get through it. And afterwards I just crash because I've expended so much energy. But by bringing so much energy and excitement to a performance, to a work, to a job, to your efforts, to a client meeting, it's going to be infectious, and they're going to can't wait to be around you, and they're going to want more from you. And just by tuning up the excitement, you can attract more business, attract more customers, and make more money in your business just by being excited. It's amazing. And even if you're not excited, act excited, because ramping up the energy is where the real breakthroughs come. And we're going to share some more breakthroughs with you. Coming up next, we have Pamela Slim, author of Escape from Cubicle Nation, right after this brief message from our sponsor. Hi, this is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. I grew up in business in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing. At that time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. In the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book with Bob Rickneris about internet marketing. It's titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet.
This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate money for me. I'm not a web programmer. I have a web guy who does all the techie work. That's what we want to teach you in my book, The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet, how you can create a website, understand what you need to know to prepare the information for a web designer, evaluate what he or she creates, and then give him instructions on how to finalize it for the web. For information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar tour of several websites, preview chapters, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. That's internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested lots of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions are buying things. There isn't any reason why they can't be buying from you. To get the details of creating a website to get them to buy from you, visit internetinformationmarketing.com.
Welcome back. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio, and my guest is Pamela Slim, author of the book Escape from Cubicle Nation, From Corporate Prisoner to Thriving Entrepreneur. And as a seasoned coach and writer who helps frustrated employees in corporate jobs break out and start their own business, Pam Slim is going to reveal what it can take for you to break free and create your own business so that you can buy your own freedom. Welcome, Pam.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Now, all right, somebody's there. They're in a cubicle. They're working day in, day out. They may not like what they're doing, but they've got a steady paycheck. Now, what should they do? They don't want to give all that up because they've got health insurance, they got benefits, they got a salary of all things, and that's nice money. How do you go from that to being an entrepreneur?
It's a good question, and these days a lot of people are concerned about not making rash moves, so I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I think the first step is to focus inward and figure out what would I like to do if what I'm doing right now really doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And some people really know what that is. They've always had an idea for a business, and they just have not ever taken the time to get it done. So now when the economy is falling apart around us and jobs don't seem too stable, mm-hmm. to me it's a great idea to start working on the idea specifically and begin to test and try things and take it out of your head and get it into the real world in small ways.
Now, Pam, why create a new business? Why not just go get a different job?
You could absolutely. I think everybody has a preferred work configuration, as I call it. I actually think we're all self-employed. I think if we just considered that every kind of situation at work we were self-employed, it would make the process easier, realizing that today corporate jobs, as we've seen, are really not stable. You sincerely cannot count on them for lifetime employment, for sometimes even for being employed for a year. So if you consider what is the best situation for you and try to make that happen, I think that's always going to be the best thing. So people that want a paycheck, don't want to be chasing after business, absolutely can focus in being an employee. My advice would be don't count on that as being a sure thing because it's not anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing. You feel like the job is something safe, something that you don't have to worry about going out and replacing all the time. Whereas a customer, the customer can switch. They could go to a competitor. They could, knock you down on your price. And really, we're seeing all of that and more in the corporate environment where companies are asking their employees to take pay cuts to keep their jobs or go without bonus or even they're letting them go entirely. And in a way, the company is kind of spinning this as a patriotic move on the part of the company. Instead of counting all the jobs they cut, they're trying to count all the jobs they save.
That's right, and it's understandable if you would think about what it's like to be in any kind of business today. There are so many pressures that are going on. There are so many new competitors. Markets are shifting so quickly. And one of the things that I draw on from being a consultant to corporations for 10 years, which is what I did before I took this track, is in realizing that systemically there are challenges, and I think the problem happens for employees where they have the expectation that actually was a valid expectation maybe for our early stages of our careers or our parents' generation or grandparents' generation. And the problem is where we look at companies today and get angry because they can't provide what they used to, they can't. They cannot guarantee that. Companies need to be changing all the time, changing their organization structure, their leadership structure. The problem is for employees, that becomes very, very disruptive.
Right. Yeah. The business has to do, I mean, what they have to do to stay in business. I mean, we would tell a business owner all the time, I mean, if you've got to let go of an employee so that you can save the company, by all means, save the company. But of course, from the employee's perspective, that's an awfully tough pill to swallow. I want to talk a little bit about some of the financial needs, but first, I want to talk a little bit about how do you break free? What must you consider logistically before you make the leap? And speaking with Pam Slim, author of the book Escape from Cubicle Nation. If you want more information from Pam about her book, there's also some free downloads that you can take advantage of if you want to start reading the book right away. Visit Pamela's website at escapefromcubiclenation.com. Go ahead and get a pen and paper, and I'll spell out that name. But Pam, what are some of the things that you need to consider before you make that leap?
I think it's always a great idea, as I said earlier, if you have already begun testing and trying your idea in the real world. And what I mean by that is not necessarily having a full-blown business on the side of your full-time job. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you want to do some consulting, and you've always thought that you do good at it, you do a good job internally as a consultant in your company. What you want to do is to start with a very small project on the outside and get used to figuring out how do you promote yourself, how do you talk about the work that you do, how do you locate customers. You might want to start within your circle of people you already know from prior colleagues or people that you know socially, where you could do a small project and see how it is on the side. The more that people have real-world experience of actually having real customers who are paying money saying, yes, the service that you're providing is very valuable, that will be much more risk mitigation for you rather than just having a business plan and quitting your job.
Yeah.
So I think the testing and trying is a critical thing, in addition to, of course, doing a lot of real assessments internally, personally, to make sure you cut way back on expenses, that you're very clear to have padding, to have savings, to have many different alternatives if your business does not go according to plan, because it rarely does.
Yeah, absolutely, Pam. And I have a lot of folks that ask me, they go, Robert, I'm already working full time. I've got I got to work overtime all the time, sometimes weekends. I got a lot of travel. How do I work this job and also try to create my own business? It seems like I could create the business a lot faster if I didn't have this job thing. What's your advice for folks that are in that situation, that are working so many hours, they don't feel like they can take the time to create a business while also working their job?
I completely understand, and I think that having two toddlers at home and having a lot of things going on, there are two different approaches. One of them is just to break things down into such small, tiny steps that they seem almost insultingly easy to accomplish.
Right.
And this is, instead of thinking you have to have a big task for 1 week, one day you might say, I'm going to write 15 minutes of my great novel, or I'm going to work on my website for 15 minutes. And where you have really, really small bites of work, and then you stop and you reward yourself for having done it, that will often give you a very positive momentum. You actually get more done when you break things down into tiny steps, rather than what many people do, which is to look for a huge block of time, which feels overwhelming and draining and makes them more tired. So that's one track. The other track is that for some people, this indeed is the case. And if this is the case for you, you could be like some of my clients who actually bank up a year or two worth of salary, consciously say, I'm going to quit my job, but I have more than enough savings in order to work on my idea. And then again, never count on that idea being the one that's absolutely going to be replacing your income and your salary as an employee. You might want to also have thought about other ways that you could maybe be a contractor or even other jobs you could take if your business idea is taking longer to get off the ground.
That's really smart. I found that breaking up, I was really surprised how much I could get done when I broke things up into really, really small pieces, because you'd be able to, if you were waiting on an airplane for 15 minutes, you could, you know, jot a list or outline an article. And then when I had, you know, an hour, I could go ahead and get it written. But if I had waited to, if I hadn't broken it down, then I would have just sat down for the hour to write the article, but I'd have probably spent 30 minutes trying to create an outline and never gotten the article done. But by breaking things down into very small pieces, you can see what it's going to take in order to be prepared, so that when you do have those pockets of time, you've done the little 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there to make that hour an actual productive hour where you have something to show for it.
You're exactly right, and there's a psychology to it, but it also is a real basic tenet in productivity, is where you do clear your mind of all the things that you need to get done. Mm-hmm. I find that for many people who are working on a business idea, they think about everything that needs to get done really in the next year or two, and that's all what's cluttering their mind and their mental energy, what they're worried about. If they break it down and say, really, truly, this month, what do I need to get done? And then, as you said, breaking it down to a daily level into a really small piece of work, it does become very feasible, mm-hmm. and you really do make progress that way. When I was writing my book, I talked to my publisher, he edited Good to Great and has this wonderful experience in book publishing, and I had, 12,000 questions for him about marketing the book. And I said, what's your best advice for a new writer? And he said, Pam, write the book. And that was really wonderful advice, because it was a case in point where, yeah, before I could think about the grandiose ideas about marketing my book, I needed to write it first.
You can't sell it before you write it.
That's right. And people can take that same advice. If you have a great idea for a business, and maybe a software business, create a really small prototype. Put your head down, get that done. Then you can look up and see what are the other activities you need to take care of.
Yeah, I think one of the best tools I ever did was creating a marketing calendar, where I figured out all of the stuff that I wanted to do in order to generate new customers. And a lot of time you kind of get overwhelmed and think that, oh, there's no way you can get it done. But by kind of spacing it out over the course of a year, it gave me deadlines. So, if it was the 25th of the month and I hadn't gotten that month's task yet, I needed to hurry up and get it done, and maybe even work a Saturday to make sure it happened that month. And also, I didn't get overwhelmed because it was still spaced out throughout the month. And making more money and going home to spend more time with their families is what we're here about on Business Profits Radio. My guest today is Pamela Slim. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. Pamela wrote the book Escape from Cubicle Nation, From Corporate Prisoner to Thriving Entrepreneur. Let me give you her website address so you can get a free chapter of the book, and you can see what it's all about. That address is Escape from CubicleNation.com, and I'll spell it all out. It's ESCAPEFROMCUBICLENATION.com. And I'm a terrible speller, so the word cubicle would stump me, I think. So I'll make sure that you have it. But it's Escape from CubicleNation.com. And coming up on Business Profits Radio, we have How to Transform Obstacles into Cash Flow with Darren Jacklin. But first, Pamela, when you're trying to balance, you're trying to build this business, you've got some customers on the side, how do you know when it's time to escape from being a prisoner and become a full-time entrepreneur?
There are a number of factors, and certainly testing the idea is a huge part of them. Mm-hmm. The other factor is making sure that you do have your finances really in order. You're aware of your expenses are, what your projected income is. Cash flow is always a really interesting concept for new entrepreneurs. I remember when I did work with many large corporations, I would get excited about a big contract, not realizing early on in my consulting career that it could take 3 months to get paid.
Right.
And these are the kinds of things, especially in today's economy, that people want to be aware of. So you really want to have a clear sense of the finances. The other thing is, really, really early on, if you have been an employee in a corporation, and mainly you've had a social network which is inside to your company, you want to really break out and begin to connect with the outside world. I'm biased towards social media just because it's been such a wonderful part of my whole journey as an entrepreneur. And by social media, I mean things like blogs, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. There are so many ways now that you can begin to really extend and expand your market and get known as your own personal brand rather than just the employee that you are within your corporation. It's really important to do this very, very early on, because even if you have some paying customers right now, they're going to, you know, buy your product or hire you for your service, and you're going to need more, as you were saying, in order to keep your marketing engine going.
Now, Pamela, you said that you need to get your finances in order, but a lot of times you don't have an opportunity to do that. Maybe you get laid off, or you just don't make enough from your job that you spend so much that you're not able to get them in order. You know, what do you have to do when you're just starting out and you're trying to you don't really have any money?
Well, and by in order, I mean, you're right, not everybody has the luxury of saving a whole bunch of money on the side if expenses are tight. The first thing is just to make sure you have a clear picture of actually what is coming in and going out. And for some people, especially when they get used to a paycheck and things are set on automatic payment, they don't really have that sense.
Okay.
The second stage is to cut back as much as you possibly can. And one of the things that I've found is interesting about people who have been in a job in particular that they really don't like is that they need a lot of things, or they feel they need things, just to be happy, like really wonderful double shot lattes. I mean, I still drink those even though I'm happy in my work, or extended vacations with the family, because you need to decompress so much after being really unhappy for most of the year. Some of these things, once you start to really do work that you love and you have more flexibility in your schedule, you actually don't need as much. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of focus now, I think, for the whole world, really, on simplification, on cutting back. So that's really what I mean, is have a clear sense of what's coming in, what's going out, how can you scale back as much as possible. And then when you're choosing a specific business idea where cash flow is an issue, choose something where a quicker path to money is one of the priorities. And by that I mean you might be able to do three different things. One of them may take a little bit longer to develop, but if you have a way, for example, to maybe do some consulting on the side, or maybe you're great at organizing garages and you can, you know, go through your neighborhood and do something like that of service to generate some income to fund the rest of your business idea, that's what I mean about really keeping your eye on your money.
Well, that's really smart. It sounds like owning your own business is a lot like having your own job, except with your own business, you really need to do a lot more planning and a lot more kind of thought before you go, because you don't have somebody else over, kind of leading over you to make sure things get done.
That's right.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Profits Radio. Check out Pamela's book in the bookstores. It's Escape from Cubicle Nation by Pamela Slim. And also visit her website at escapefromcubiclenation.com. Coming up on the program, we have Transforming Your Obstacles into Cash Flow with Darren Jacklin, coming up after this brief message.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about, called The Phenomenon? Question: was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the Phenomenon DVD, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the Phenomenon, go to AchieveMoreProfit.com.
For more than a decade, Darren Jacklin has dedicated his life to discovering the most advanced principles for producing and accelerating change. And you know what? He's my guest here on Business Profits Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrope. Darren, welcome to Business Profits Radio.
Good morning, Robert. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on here today.
Well, good. I'm real excited about this. Now, from your background, I know that you really help a lot of people. And one of the things that I see is in business, or even when they're working, people build up habits that allow them to cope, that allow them to kind of get by and succeed. And like, you know, the lady who's on a single income, raising kids, might spend a whole lot of time clipping coupons and might spend hours combing the newspaper trying to find coupons in order to cut her budget. And while that helps her survive, it takes time away from growing. Can you talk a little bit about how other types of habits people create that keep them from succeeding?
Absolutely. A lot of people, from my experience, and I've been doing this for almost 2 decades now, traveling to many, many countries around the world, working with hundreds of thousands of people from many different cultures, countries, different backgrounds, different walks of life. And people get into a rat race or a vicious cycle or a rut where they're consistently doing a habit. And a lot of times they could be even unconscious to what their habit is. Mm-hmm. I always say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You've learned from a parent or a legal guardian while you've been growing up as a young boy or girl. And so one of the things is to be aware, like create an awareness of what your habits are. And you can do that through meditation, through prayer, through journal writing, through having a mentor or a coach or attending a workshop or a seminar, or just being around a peer group of friends and people who love and care about you. And the thing is you cannot change what you don't acknowledge. Mm. So if you've got, like, for example, a bad financial spending habit and you're consistently spending, your spending's out of control. And I know in my past, personally, I've been there, and I had a good core group of people in my life, you know, friends and family and mentors, and said, hold on a second, Darren, here, look at it. I want to point something out to you as an awareness for you. So you got to be aware of who you're hanging out with and who you're spending time with consistently, because who you hang out with, who you spend your time with, is who you become.
Now, and, Darren, when if you see somebody whose habits are, you know, putting them in a bad position, is it something that you would bring up to them, or is it something that you kind of need their permission before you should share your opinions with them?
My own personal opinion and experience is I observe the person first and establish a good, really deep rapport level with him or her. And once I have established rapport, and if we have that conversation and, you know, in the communication with that person, whether it's a family member, a friend, or a loved one, or a coworker, or a colleague, or a business partner, what I would do is then, you know, get permission from the person first, but really observe the person first and see where he or she is at. Mm-hmm. And then see if you can have that conversation with him. And if they're open to the feedback, then, you know, the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make the horse drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to be real careful with that. I imagine that you could actually send them back to only reinforcing those behaviors rather than changing them. And I know with me in my business, I really like the administrative functions. I'm a CPA by background, and I could sit around and work on the financial statements. Oh, well, this really should be categorized over here, or you know what, that, let me recategorize that expense. Oh, well, this one really should be shared across 4 different line items, and so I'll break all of that out. And I could spend hours doing that, but that work keeps me from the work which is actually what is productive, which is generating new customers. You know, how if somebody's doing something and they're not getting where they really want to go, you mentioned mentors or friends. Is that really the best way to try to figure out what it is that's holding you back?
That is one of the ways. Actually, a lot of people, for example, are in motion, but they're not in action. There's a difference between being in motion and being in action. A good way to tell if you're in motion is at the end of your work week, look at how busy you were in your personal professional life and ask yourself, hey, listen, I was really busy, but did I actually get things complete or get things done? Mm. Are you busy being busy? If you're a professional real estate agent or mortgage broker or a life insurance person, just as some examples of some professions, at the end of the week, you were so busy doing, you know, due diligence and research as your professional real estate career, but did you actually go out there and prospect people and write applications for, you know, for houses? Did you do that? If you didn't, you were in motion, but you weren't in action.
Yeah, and
it's like going to a shooting range, and you and I are standing there, and we've got our earmuffs on, and we've got our safety goggles on, and we've went through our safety procedures with regards to shooting the gun at a target, whereas a lot of times people will aim, but you've got to shoot that gun and take a shot at things. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky, a well-known professional hockey player always says, you miss 100% of the shots you never take on net. And how many times do we never take the shot on the net? You know, it's taking those consistent shots is the key thing.
So instead of doing what's comfortable, you got to do what's productive.
Absolutely.
I'm with world-class professional speaker Darren Jacklin. Let me give you his website, and go ahead and get a pen and paper, and I'll give it out to you again. But if you've got it ready, his website is www.askdarrenjacklin.com, and I'll spell it just for you in just a moment. But Darren is an author and has motivated, inspired personnel for more than 130 Fortune 500 companies such as Microsoft, AT&T, Black & Decker, Barclays Bank, Air Canada, as well as high school and professional athletes from more than 36 countries. Now, I understand, Darren, that you've got a whole new system coming up, and I want to talk to you about it. It's all about transforming obstacles into cash flow. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by that, how you can turn something that's holding you back into something that actually pays you money?
Give an example. I recently met a gentleman in one of my events who worked for a grocery chain, mm-hmm. Safeway company, give an example. And he had worked there for 30-plus years, and during the last 12 months, they've been doing some layoffs around North America and their different Uh-oh. Departments, and he was let go.
Oof.
And so he went into a state of depression because at a young age, I think he was around 16 years of age, he had started working for this grocery chain, bagging groceries, and he'd worked his way all the way up through the system into a management position, earning a high income plus bonuses and salary.
Wow.
And he knew that position very well. It was very safe for him, comfortable, and it was routine. And he consistently did the same job over and over again, so it was a repetitive habit for him. And he was let go, and he went into a state of depression where that's all he knew, and he didn't know what to do. And he was causing challenges at home with his family and with his spouse and some of his immediate friends and family members, and he did not know what to do. He was on the internet, on LinkedIn.com and Monster.com and some different internet websites looking for jobs, but he was either overqualified or too old or had too much experience. And when I met him, I said, you know, what a real blessing for you to have lost your job.
he
got really upset because it's either a crisis or an opportunity. And for him, he chose to look at it as a crisis that, you know, the employer had done him wrong and the economy is going down the toilet and all this kind of stuff. I said, you know what? Really, what is your purpose in life? Why are you here on this planet? It's to serve and contribute and to make a difference. And through this crisis, through this adversity, this challenge, I had him write down 200 benefits of gratitude of why he was grateful that he got let go and why he was grateful to his employer, the Safeway Corporation, the grocery chain, to that. And that was a real struggle for him to actually write down 200 benefits. And once he did this, we discovered, and I, through the experiential process I put him through, was that he was a real blessing, an asset to a lot of people, because there's a lot of small grocery retailers across North America that struggle every month with advertising and marketing and budgeting and trying to get their, you know, their word-of-mouth advertising and their marketing out there. And so many people will spend money on wasted advertising and not see a specific measurable result.
Mm.
So I showed him how he can live from his purpose, live from his passion, earn more money, have a lot more fun and a lot more freedom and a lot more free time, whatever he wants to do. And he chose to become an independent contractor.
Mm.
And over the 30-plus years he worked with this grocery chain, he got a chance to go around by telephone and by Skype.com on the internet, and he got a chance to contact some of his contacts. So basically, I showed him how to monetize his network of people, and I showed him how to use underutilized assets to turn those into cash flow and multiple streams of income. And today, this gentleman earned a six-figure income in the last 12 months. We've just fast-tracked him. He's having more fun. He's doing volunteer work. He's enjoying his life.
Okay.
He's living his life on purpose as an man, which is a huge thing. And he feels he's being of service and contribution to his life because 30-plus years in that corporate job, he just became numb after a while because it was so routine.
That's a great success story. I can really relate. I talk to a lot of people that they face these obstacles. They're not able to get customers, or they're not able to get a marketing program that will work, or they just can't find these breakthroughs. And what I try to explain here on Business Profits Radio is that success is by working through obstacles, not the absence of obstacles. And
absolutely.
And you're going to have those things that are going to crop up. And really, the faster you go, the harder you're working, the more these obstacles will come up. And so that's a great example of, rather than figuring all the reasons why you hate the obstacle, why all the complaints that you have, all the frustrations, instead turn it into a listing of all the reasons why that obstacle is actually helpful to you. And I think that's a great example. My guest today is Darren Jacklin. He is a world-class professional speaker, corporate trainer, and author. Let me give you his website, and you can get some more information about his system, Transform Obstacles into Cash Flow. And his website is at www.askdarrenjacklin.com. And I'll go ahead and spell that for you, askdarrenjacklin.com. And I'll spell it for you in just another moment if you missed it that time. Now, Darren, you also have a program about for kids, 101 ways that kids can make money. And I certainly have a couple of entrepreneurial children that I'd love to get some additional information and help to them. What's that all about?
What it is when I was 7 years old, I set up my first little business called Rent a Kid. I was shoveling sidewalks in the wintertime and cutting grass and delivering newspapers and, you know, selling lemonade and doing things around my neighborhood. And throughout my travels, I've met many, many young men and women who've inspired me. You know, young kids who are doing pet sitting businesses to, you know, doing errands for senior citizens to, you know, running recycling programs to doing different things. And so I thought I'd go on an adventure, a journey. And I would interview, with permission, with people's parents and legal guardians, I'd interview young children, young boys and girls all over the world in different countries, different backgrounds, different walks of life, different states, different provinces. So I put together an audio program called 101 Ways Your Kids Can Make Money. And what it does, it gives you 101 tips, tools, and techniques on how you can make money as a kid. And now, what's the money for? Well, we've got some kids that go ahead and they donate the money to a local human or animal shelter.
No, my kids are going to keep it.
Some kids in other countries through you know, their church. Yeah. Some kids are saving up money to buy a bicycle or a computer or some sporting equipment. So what the program does, it shows kids in real life what they're doing around the world in different countries, different provinces, different states, on what they're doing to earn some money while still going to school full-time and having fun and learning life lessons along the way and making a difference.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I know my kids would spend all the money at the iTunes store. My son loves to do labeling. In fact, I actually bring mailings home and let him put the labels on them. And I had to take him to the office to train some of the adults on how to get labels done more efficiently, because he was doing them so fast that he would be able to do two pages of labels for every one page they were able to do.
Wow.
Well, Darren, that program sounds like it's fascinating. If you'd like to check out Darren Jacklin's programs, both the Transform Obstacles into Cash Flow as well as the audio program 101 Ways for Kids to Make Money, visit www.askdarrenjacklin.com. That's spelled askdarrenjacklin.com. Darren, thanks so much for being my guest today on Business Profits Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate being on here.
All right. Coming up, we have your profitable business truth, which is the essential way you can live the business owner lifestyle. You know how to make money. You know how to get lots of customers. Well, this is the secret to the lifestyle of a business owner. Coming up right after this brief message.
Would you like to become a guru? Have you ever wanted to publish home study courses, audio programs, or franchise your business? It's a lot easier than you'd think. As a matter of fact, Robert Scrobe, the host of Business Profits Radio, teamed up with Entrepreneur Magazine to publish a book outlining how you can create your own information products. Receive a free online video outlining 5 information products and see how easy it is to create your own. Visit GuruQuick.com. You too can become a published author, create your own home study products, and become a guru. It's easy and only takes a few short weeks. Check out the free training video at GuruQuick.com. That's www.GuruQuick.com.
Throughout my years in business, I have identified 16 truths business owners must follow to break free and build a lifestyle that gives them income, wealth, and the freedom to enjoy it. I'm Robert Scrobe, and as your host on Business Profits Radio, I bring you one of these business truths each week. Last week, we talked about where the money is and how you don't generate any profit, you don't generate any income, you can't deliver or produce anything until you have a customer. And so all of the money, all of the magic is in selling, is in generating new customers and selling additional products to the customers you have. So what happens after you generate all these customers? Well, most of the time, business owners become slap busy. They can't keep up with it all. They go from having a full-time job and little pay to having a full-time job, working another 20 or 30 hours of overtime every week, and still having little pay, sometimes making even less. So what's the difference between business owners who are slap busy, running around all the time, and business owners who enjoy that lifestyle? You know that leisurely lifestyle that you think about when you think about rich business people, how they're out relaxing all the time? Well, I tell you, fill you in the truth. The fact is, it doesn't really exist. It does maybe for a few hours at a time or a couple weeks here or there, or business owners that take time off. But you know, the fact is, if a business owner is generating money, they are working. But let me show you how they even get that free time to do the things that they want to do. And what it is by creating business processes and systems, documented ways of doing things that enable the business owner to get out of chasing down all these details and instead become kind of more above their business and allow their business to operate as a machine. And rather than them being the machine trying to get everything done. I have a good friend of mine who owns a restaurant, and many years ago, he told me, you know, I was like, well, why can't we just go out? Why can't we go do something? You know, I don't really want, you don't want to be sitting in your restaurant all the time. And I was kind of bored. And so I really wanted to go find some adventure for 2 or 3 days. And he's like, no, I just absolutely cannot leave. I'm like, well, just let the employees run it. No, I mean, every shift, something goes wrong and I've got to do it. You know, either we run out of food or we run out of supplies or we run out of something. And every shift, there's something that goes wrong. And I've got to be here so that when it goes wrong, I can be here to solve the problem. And I tried to explain things, and you know what? He still operates his business in the same way, and he still doesn't have any free time. He has to be there on weekends. He's there late in the evenings, and he depends on finding the right employee. And when he's got the right employee, he's able to get some free time. But what happens is the right employee, they figure out that they're smarter than he is because they can run the thing the way he does it. And so they go off and start their own business, or they go off and work for somebody else because they've become so valuable they really have to have a business owner mentality in order to run his business. So what's the difference? Well, let me explain. When I started in business, I ran things the same way. We would do a lot of printing and a lot of producing mailings. And so all of a sudden we discover that we're out of paper. And so just normal copy paper, or maybe it's 11 by 17 yellow paper where we produce mailings or something with. So we're out of the paper and we were going to get a mailing out and there's people here to fold. Well, I would rush out to the office supply store and go buy the paper and then come right back. And pretty much I'm the only one who can do that because I'm the one with the company credit card. And so the system required me to rush out and go buy it if we needed it. Well, what I did instead is I created a weekly inventory list. And so now there's a team member who goes around and reviews all of the supplies that we have in the office and makes sure that we have a good amount of them on hand so that if we needed to do a mailing or we needed to do a project, we've got it. And All the paper is individually listed in each color and each type. There's 11 by 17 white. There's 11 by 17 yellow. There's 11 by 17 glossy. And that anytime I need to walk in there and say, all right, this is the project. This is how we're doing it. This is where we're going. It's there. And my friend could have easily done this in his restaurant and had an inventory that they review every night or every week and make sure that they have what they need. And then what if there's a project that I use the inventory, I can go back and tweak it. So, you know what? I thought two packages was enough. Now I've discovered that I really need to keep three on hand because every now and then I do a project that requires three. And there's several different types of systems. The one I just discussed is a supply system to make sure that you have the inputs necessary in order to produce projects. There's also fulfillment systems, which are processes for getting the things that you sell completed and delivered to your customers. So anytime you're actually doing work, you need to be documenting what you're doing, documenting the decisions that you're making, so that when you do delegate it, you don't need a special employee that can make all these decisions. Instead, you need an employee who can just follow directions. And then you need marketing systems, and these are processes that generate customers. You have, in order to get a customer, you have to get somebody to know, like, and trust you. And so you've got to have these processes out there where they can become aware of who you are and ask you for more information. Then once they ask you for more information, you have to have a process that follows up and turns them from somebody who kind of is aware of you to somebody who is buying from you. So supply systems, fulfillment systems, and marketing systems. Those are the things that unlock the lifestyle in your business. But Robert, I can't do that. You can say to me, my business is too complicated. I've got to make too many decisions, and there's no way that will work for me. You know what? I've been there. And I thought for a long time that my business was too complicated, and there was no way that I was going to be able to systemize it like everybody else's business. Maybe they could. Well, you know what? The truth is, you have to. And as long as you say that it's impossible, it is impossible. And instead, you have to say, it is possible, and I'm going to do it. Or I'm going to design a business and sell something that is systemizable so that I don't have to be here every day making these decisions and making stuff happen. I also want to share with you some strategies that I've employed in the new economy, things that I've changed in my business to respond to the recession and generate money even in spite of it. And that's coming after this brief message.
Attention business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, and anyone who wants to get more accomplished. Have you heard about the new DVD sensation that everybody is talking about called The Phenomenon? Question, was 2007 the breakthrough year you wanted? And if not, what goals would you set? What accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you want if you knew it could be yours in just the next 12 months? In this most unusual DVD created by legendary marketing guru Dan Kennedy, you'll meet 23 people and hear directly from them about the exact changes they took to trigger the phenomenon in their lives. Best of all, the secret is not about thoughts. It is about what to do and exactly how to do it. To preview the phenomenon DVD, go to achievemoreprofit.com. So what accomplishments would you seek? What income and status would you set if you knew it could be yours in just 12 months? Amaze yourself and everyone around you. To preview the phenomenon, go to achievemoreprofit.com.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the profitable business truth, building systems and really where the lifestyle is in your business. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Profits Radio. And if you would like a copy of my book for free, now it's free, no cost. I'll even pay the shipping. But the book is called Profitable Business Truths, and it has all 16 essential truths. And there's a whole chapter all about creating systems and why in that book, Profitable Business Truths, as well as there's a chapter on each of the 15 other essential truths business owners must follow to break free, make more money, and go home earlier to spend more time with their family. If you'd like a copy of this book, I'd be happy to send it to you. Just if you would, go to iTunes Store, look up Business Profits Radio, rate the show from 1 to 5 stars, whatever it's worth. If it's worth 5, give it 5. If it's worth 3, give it 3. If you hate it, give it a 1. But rate it from 1 to 5 stars. Then go to my blog at robertscrobe.com and post a comment to tell me, hey, Robert, I've rated you on iTunes. And we'll contact you and we'll send you out a copy of the book, Profitable Business Truths. No shipping cost, no purchase cost. It'll just show up in the envelope in the mail. No cost to you, just for going to iTunes and rating Business Profits Radio from 1 to 5 stars. My gift to you. Thank you very much, and I look forward to getting as many copies, you know, hundreds of copies of this book, Profitable Business Truths, out. So go ahead and get your copy today. No problem at all. Now, I've done a lot of things differently, and I practice a lot of different business strategies than most businesses, but one of the things that I'm doing very differently, I'm changing around because of the recession. For many years, let me kind of explain how one of my businesses work. About a quarter of the income comes from customers. There's about 40 of them, but they pay about $6,000 a year. And then another quarter of my income comes from some customers who pay me about $15,000 a year. And for many years, I've simply sent these customers a letter and a renewal invoice and said, hey, it's time to renew. Go ahead and fill out this invoice and send it back, and we will get you all signed up. And I'll continue to provide you great service. Well, and that's worked very well over the last several years. Never had a problem. You know, maybe one or two would drop out, but I had long since replaced them with new customers that had taken their place. This year, I am stepping it up. And in fact, I am making a personal visit to every customer who is in those categories. And it's a ton of visits. I mean, it's about 60 visits I have to travel around the country in order to make. And it's going to take, I've already done a few of them. It took me about a week to get started last week. And I'm going to be doing these. I took out the whole week of the end of August. And I've got about 3 weeks in September that I'm going to do this, and probably another week in October in order to finish it up. But I'm finding that it's crucial that I step up my efforts in order to market. You know, there was a couple of them that, you know, even told me, you know, Robert, I look at the bill and I certainly appreciate everything you do for me, but man, I was just having a little bit of trouble, you know, keeping that in the budget for next year. And so what I found in the recession is that it's crucial to step up your efforts. A lot of time you kind of clamp down and you get concerned and you want to save expenses and you don't want to invest. You don't want to invest money because you're concerned whether or not you're going to get your pay back for it. I tell you, in these times, it's never been more important to step up your efforts, to work harder, to go and build, especially when you're building relationships with your current customers and your prospects. Those are the places to invest. If you've got strong customer relationships and you're building new ones, you're going to be perfectly fine in any economy, much less today's economy. So take a tip from me. I can tell you that it so far it's been worth the time, and I've dedicated another 4 weeks of travel time being out of the office. I can tell you there's very little that I like less than leaving the office and traveling throughout the country. I got a home office where I work in the mornings, and I go into the office where all the employees work in the afternoon. And yeah, I can. It's a great system, a great lifestyle, and I hate to leave it. But let me tell you, those relationships that you build with your customers are crucial. Is there anybody that you haven't gone and talked to in a while? Anybody that you need to pick up the phone and speak with? Any way that you can get out and meet a few of the most crucial customers and make sure you build a relationship? Can tell you, your competitors probably are out there trying to build a relationship with your customers. Don't you think it's time that you do as well? We have a great show coming up next week. We have new rules for businesses. You know, a lot of business owners, we think we got to do things one way. Well, I can tell you what, there is new rules. And in fact, there are no referees. So you need to get out and get working, because if you're not using the new rules, other businesses are using them against you. And plus, coming up on next week's program, we have strategies for coping with the recession. Business was hard before the recession, and it's even more difficult today. Next week, we're going to talk about how you can cope, and not only just cope, but also thrive in today's economy. That's coming up next week. Until then, I'm your host, Robert Scrobe, for Business Profits Radio.
Business Profits Radio is produced by Corey Scrobe in conjunction with WebTalkRadio.net. Your host is Robert Scrobe. You can learn more about Robert from his blog at www.robertscrobe.com. Business Profits Radio is dedicated to helping business owners make more money and go home earlier to spend more time with their families. To be notified immediately when new shows are posted, visit www.businessprofitsradio.com. For guest application or advertising details, you can visit us on the web at www.businessprofitsradio.com. Although Business Profits Radio believes the content is accurate, complete, and current, the host, guests, and show producers make no warranty as to the accuracy, completeness, or currency of the content. It is your responsibility to verify any information before relying on it. None of the information provided on this show should be construed as legal advice, nor is anyone associated with Business Profits Radio engaged in the practice of law. If you need legal advice, please seek the advice of an independent legal counsel. This show is copyright protected by Business Profits Radio, Inc., 2008. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Business Profits Radio.